This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. On today's show, personal finance is something that leaves a lot of us scratching our heads as we ponder questions like how to save, what to invest in, and how to do all this while reducing debt. This afternoon, we'll get some advice on managing your money. Starting us off, University of Chicago professor Dr. Harold Pollack and his co-author, financial journalist Helene Olin, say personal finance really isn't as difficult as you might think. They say by following 10 simple rules, you can lay out your financial plan on something as small as a 4x6 note card. Their book is The Index Card, Why Personal Finance Doesn't Have to Be Complicated. Harold Pollack spoke with me earlier about how the book came to be and to share some of its advice. Harold, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
I have to find out from you. You had a picture of an index card. That index card picture went viral. So how did that lead to this book? What's the story behind that?
Yeah, I've been asked that question a lot. Yes, it did. I was interviewing my co-author, Helene Olin, when she wrote her last book, Pound Foolish, for something. In the course of the conversation, I just casually mentioned that the dilemma facing the financial advice industry was that the best advice basically is available for free in the library, and you could fit it on an index card. And then the conversation kind of moved on, and I started getting lots of emails saying, well, where's the index card? And I was kind of stuck. I was speaking metaphorically, but I had made that claim. So I grabbed one of my daughter's index cards out of the drawer. She was in high school at the time, and I just scribbled down a bunch of sensible things, and I took a picture with my iPhone, and I posted it on the web, and it got 400,000 hits,
It
was in the Washington Post. It was actually named one of Money Magazine's best new ideas of the year, which was kind of hilarious because there's nothing new here in terms of it's all like paying your credit card bill at the end of the month and things like that. You know, it's just not rocket science. But it seems to be very helpful for people to decomplexify a very intimidating subject. And now, of course, people then say, well, then, of course, you went and ruined it by going and writing a book. There's some things on this index card that you really – that are just self-explanatory, like don't buy or sell any individual stocks. You know, we explain a little bit about the literature behind that, which is individual investors are just terrible at that. But that one is kind of – you can take the lesson and just go do. Holding your financial advisor to a fiduciary standard, people kind of need to know, what are you talking about? What is a fiduciary standard, and how do I think about that? How do I know when I'm ready to buy a house? You know, there are things where people need a little bit more direction. I think it goes down pretty easy, and then, you know, it's a short book. But we think it's helpful to people. You know, in a sense, it's like I don't know if you're old enough to remember Arthur Ashe when he was an active tennis player.
Yes, uh-huh.
So when he beat Jimmy Connors in the U.S. Open, and they said, how did you do that? You know, he went to the post-match interview, and he said, I hit the ball low. And they said, well what else? Everybody knows you're supposed to hit the ball low against Jimmy Connors. And he said, no, you don't understand. I actually did it. And it was the execution that was the hard part. And a lot of what's in this book is really, how do you really execute some pretty simple things that are, you know, that we wrote down on the card.
Yeah, putting your financial plan on an index card, is it really that simple?
Well, you know, it's pretty simple. It's not, which is not to say easy. So, you know, when we say save 10-20% of your income, that's easy to write down. It is a challenge to do that, particularly for people at different stages in their lives. I got a lot of hate mail. The original index card said save 20%, and I got a lot of hate
imagine.
Mail from people. Yeah, and they were basically like, I got one that was like, Dear Professor Pollack, I'm a 28-year-old single mom. You just told me to save 20% of my income. Blank you. And I was like, I totally get that. I was not offended in the least. For people in those difficult times of life, the key thing is stay out of credit card debt and start chipping away and saving as much as you can and building up to that 20%. And we sort of when we try to offer some ways to do that. I think that some things are way simpler than people think. so many people ask, like, how should I invest the money in my 401k? I don't know what kinds of market sectors to emphasize, and I'm turning on the TV and I'm seeing all these ads for, you know, there's one ad which shows an amoeba off of Indonesia and it's supposed to affect the price of real estate in Hong Kong and all this kind of stuff. That stuff turns out to be really simple. You just buy a cheap total stock market index fund and just keep methodically pushing it. And, you know, you have a mix of stock and bonds and cheap index funds. And you really don't have to know very much for that part of it. So there's certain things that turn out to be way simpler than people think, and certain parts that take a little bit of doing.
So is it fair to say the book's based on the old keep it simple principle?
Absolutely. It's a very powerful principle. There's a reason why that KISS principle has had a long life to it.
Now, you say never. So with individual stocks, it's never, ever? Just don't go there?
Yep, never, ever. And not just individual stocks, but anything that involves trying to predict, is the stock market going to go up next year or down next year? You stay away from that. The literature it's amazing how bad we all are at that. And not just, I mean, there's the people who are like sitting in their basement in their pajamas frantically day trading that are obviously, you know, you definitely want to avoid that. But it's the everyday person. Whenever you buy a stock, the person that you're buying it from across the table from you is probably an investment professional who has more information than you do, who has more training than you do, and this is what they do all day long. And what's more, you know, I, Harold Pollack, should not be spending my time trying to figure out is Chrysler developing the next innovative generation of minivans? You know, should I throw my money into Chrysler, or what's the deal with the Android versus the iPhone? I should be spending that time on my day job, or I should be spending that time, you know, hugging my kids and being with my family. And it's kind of humbling in one way, because it's basically saying you're not going to be the person who's going to have bought Apple, you know, in 1996 and made a fortune. But once you realize that, boy, it frees up so much time, because you just don't have to. There's just a huge part of your brain that you just don't need to deploy for, you know, for saving for your retirement. Think of how terrible it would be if I said, you know, in order to have a secure retirement, you really have to learn about, you know, which companies are good and which companies are bad, and this is how you read a balance sheet and all this kind of stuff. That would be terrible. That would be basically saying you need like a second job. You know, it's hard enough to do my first job. I don't need a second one.
So, Harold, how did the concept of financial planning become so complicated for people in the first place?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. One is we face real problems in our lives that we face real anxiety. You know, a lot of us, you know, we were in an era where we have rising inequality, healthcare costs have gone up, college costs have gone up, and a lot of us are really very correctly concerned about, you know, how am I going to save for my retirement? How am I going to pay for my kids' school? And it's pretty scary just because of what's happening in the economy. And that's one aspect of it. Another aspect of it is that we have a real problem that the financial industry can make money by selling us stuff that we really don't need, that claims to solve the problems that I was just describing. And we really do have a problem that financial planning seems more complicated than it is, because there are a lot of people out there who can make you money selling you stuff that's kind of complicated that you don't need. And their sales pitches, I have a way that I can help your kid save for college that, you know, it's going to avoid you having to put this down in the financial aid form. Or I have an annuity thing that'll, even though you don't quite have enough money for retirement, this is a way I can ensure that you'll never outlive your savings. And an awful lot of that, you know, is not helpful and, in fact, is often harmful. And people sort of have to figure out what's the good advice, what's the bad advice, and what's the sort of sales pitch aspect. And that just adds to the anxiety of the whole thing.
Do you think the 24-hour business channels and the stock shows help or hurt with someone managing their money?
I think they absolutely hurt. It's too bad. You know, it's funny. A lot of my relatives used to watch Louis Rukeyser. Remember Louis Rukeyser from years ago? He had actually 4 million viewers a week. And he was actually more harmful than, like, Jim Cramer and these people, I think, because he was urbane and charming. He wasn't sort of a gonzo, you know, this is ridiculous kind of a guy. He seemed very measured, and he was really telling people to try to pick stocks that, you know, that would work well. And you know, if the problem is the best advice would be incredibly boring TV. I mean, imagine if you had a show where this announcer comes on and says, you know what you really should do is just buy a low-fee stock index fund and not pay attention to everything that's going on in the stock market today, because it's not going to affect anything. You shouldn't do anything different based on whatever's happening.
End of show.
Every day, they read my index card every day. You know, who would watch that show? My mom would watch it. Nobody else would watch it. You know, and that's a problem, you know, that it's more fun to be sort of gonzo and to be trying to figure out the next big thing. And you know, all the evidence is that the advice given by these shows is just terrible.
Talking with Harold Pollack, who along with Helene Olen has written the book, The Index Card, Why Personal Finance Doesn't Have to Be Complicated. And Harold, how, as a whole, how does this country do when it comes to saving money?
Terrible.
How terrible?
I think we do really badly for a couple reasons. Many of these reasons are not in the control of individual people. I think that it's hard out there. You know, I mean, I'm sitting here. I'm a professor at the University of Chicago. I have a tenured job. It would be the height of arrogance for me to lecture people who make half the salary that I make that they're not saving enough. You know, that is, I am very conscious that I am blessed, you know, and that I have, you know, a skilled profession that, you know, where I'm able to earn a good living. I also think we're in a toxic environment that makes it hard for us to make good decisions. We've talked about the financial shows. We're also in a consumer culture that is so mediocre and so oriented towards immediate gratification that it makes it hard for us to be looking at the long term. Just all around us, we're bombarded with things we can spend money on, ways that you know, new ways we can become happier by buying more expensive stuff. And it is, you know, just watch any football game and just watch the ads that come on for all the luxury cars that you can buy, or, you know, or the Taylor Swift tickets and everything else. I think we kind of have to resist that. It's not that you want to go on a financial starvation diet. I don't think that's realistic. You know, if you, like, really love having a $4 mocha cappuccino, whatever, at Starbucks every day, and that gets you going, that's great. But you want to be spending your money on the things that really make you happy and that are important to you and that sort of fit within some overall plan. And, you know, if you don't get your mojo out of that nice Starbucks cup of coffee, take that $4 and, you know, spend it on something else so that it's more planful. And, I think we have to somehow have a more tempered approach to buying stuff in America, I think. And I think we also have to do more to help people who are further down the economic scale, for whom it's really a big challenge to save right now. So there's a couple things happening at the same time.
Now, you talk about saving 10 to 20% of your income. So I suppose the first thing people should do is make sure that if they don't have one, that they build up an emergency savings account. Is that correct?
Yeah. I think you really can't plan if you're in, like, daily reactive mode. And, you know, things happen in your life. Your car gets, you know, you get into a fender bender. In our case, a raccoon ate through our roof one day. You know, we had an expense for that. You hurt yourself. You have unexpected expenses, and you have to have a strategic reserve so you can handle that. And for me, by the way, that was the single best thing that happened in my life when I got a handle on my budget, was when I had that reserve, and all of a sudden my stress really went down.
So it's a stress reliever.
it's an incredible stress reliever. And if you don't have that, what you're really doing is you're like jumping from thing to thing. And like a lot of my students have credit card debt issues. And in fact, a surprising number of them, you know, they're like, I've been living with my boyfriend for 3 months. I'm not going to let him see my Visa bill. We don't know each other that well yet. And what they're doing is they're jumping from crisis to crisis. And then you're sort of saying, well, I know it's not a great idea to keep this big Visa balance, but it's solving my problem today. I'm worried about my this check bouncing before the end of the month. So I'm letting my Visa balance, you know, putting this thing on my Visa rather than write a check for it, even though it's not the smartest thing I could do because it solves my immediate problem. And so that that emergency reserve gets you into a headspace where you can really start planning. And then you're sort of ready for the next phase, which is really making your savings automatic and using your 401k and things like that.
Have we as a society lost the concept of delaying gratification?
A little bit. It is. People are trying. I think that we've made it. We've created structures where we put the most pressure on people, where we know that people are going to have the most trouble. So, you know, back once upon a time, you know, if you were working in a factory in Columbus, Ohio, you would have a defined benefit pension. You would work. The company would put money in. It would manage it in some sensible way. And when you were ready to retire, you could draw on it. And it wasn't an ideal system, one of the biggest problems being that, you know, what happens when that company is no longer financially as strong as it hoped to be. But gradually over time, we've replaced that with the 401k, and where we say, you know, it's up to you how much money you put in, and you can put in anything you want. You know, here's like 200 mutual funds you can invest in, and they all have weird names like the Strength 2025 Fund, and you're like, I don't know what that is. And then surprisingly, a lot of people either don't put enough money in, or they're not putting money into the things that are really the most efficient investments for them. That's so totally predictable, because we've put a burden on people, you know, to take on this task. That's just really, really hard for the average person to do. So you know, one reason why deferred gratification is such a huge problem is that we put the burden on people to face these huge challenges where their inability to defer gratification is going to do the most harm. And, you know, we have to somehow revisit that as a matter of public policy. I do think we could, as I said, I do think on the cultural side, we could have a little bit more of a message of, you know, we can all live a little bit below our means. There are worse things than not spending money. And there are worse things than when you get together with your friends to say, hey, what can we do that's actually cheap? Because all of us are trying to save money.
So, Harold, once you've created that index card, are you finished?
Well, that's a good question. I've become quite, as you can tell, I've become quite passionate about this subject. I would really like to find better ways to help people who face these issues, who are in sort of more modest circumstances. A lot of my students are social workers, and the people that they're trying to help are often, they have exactly the same lack of deferred gratification that the rest of us have, but they're so much closer to the waterline that when they have a hard time doing it, the consequences are often devastating for them. So I'd love to find ways that we could bring the sort of index card type insights to people who are, really facing the biggest financial challenges. That's one thing I'm interested in. And I think there's a lot we could do. So I'm not done with it, but I'm trying to find ways to both in public policy and in giving advice to people to do a better job with people who are facing some of the most significant challenges in this.
But once you've created your own personal card, it's a matter of just follow up, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I think for my own personal financial life, I feel like I am done. I mean, I feel like I follow this card, and that's pretty much what you have to do. Once you start saving, putting your money into a 401k, and you know, I do most of my savings through my 401k. You put 20% of your income aside for the things that you have to save for. It's on autopilot. You really don't have to do much more. And you know, once a year, you look at your stocks and you sort of say, well, you know, is it the right balance of, you know, am I taking a little bit too much risk because the stock market went up a lot this year? Maybe I should rebalance things a little bit. That's about it.
Harold, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
University of Chicago professor Dr. Harold Pollack. He and financial journalist Elaine Olin are the authors of The Index Card, Why Personal Finance Doesn't Have to Be Complicated. Coming up, more advice on handling your finances, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.